So I thought I would kind of pick up on the theme that Hannah started last week, and this is about putting and identifying our spiritual gifts to work. All right, so this is kind of a heads up on something that's coming along. Later on this fall, towards the end of the year, we're going to be taking on a church-wide initiative where we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts again. Now, some of you might be going, okay, been there, done that. Why do we need to do this again? But I think there's a couple of really compelling reasons why this is appropriate for us. First and foremost, as it makes very apparent in Scripture, both like what we read today and in several other places, God has created us through His gift of grace with these certain talents and abilities. And there's an expectation, because we should be good stewards of all the things that God gives us, that we're to put these things to use. And in particular, we're supposed to put these in use to serve one another. So it's kind of an imperative that we do this. And this shouldn't be something we talk about just some of the time or every once in a while. This should actually be something we should talk about more often. So that's number one. But I think it has a special appropriateness to where we find our church this day. And it's a true church-wide, not only just this church. As we've said many, many times in the past year or so, we are definitely in a transitional era. The landscape outside the walls of this church are changing almost on a daily basis. People view organized religion and the place of church differently than they did even a decade ago. And so in order to meet the changing needs of our community, as Pastor Clay has said before, we need to have a certain nimbleness, a flexibility to us. There's going to be ministries that we've had for years that we're going to have to kind of put aside because they don't work anymore, and we're going to have to be adapting new ones as we go along. That's in order for us to remain relevant and to have a future. And this isn't one of these kind of things that just a few select folks can keep going here. This is one of those all hands on deck kind of moments where all of us are going to have to chip into this. Think of it for a second like a TV screen. Okay, a TV screen is made up of hundreds of thousands of little pixels. And if some of those pixels aren't working, it might be a little bit distracting to you, but you still kind of get an idea of what the picture's supposed to be. But as I add on to the ones that don't work, now the picture gets a little bit more distorted. And eventually, I don't even know what the picture was supposed to be. Well, if we're going to remain relevant in the future and still be a force in our community, we have to present a crystal clear picture of what our church is, what it stands for, and how we can help. And that's only going to happen if all of us kick in all of these gifts and talents that we have. So it's absolutely imperative to the future of our church that we take an intentional approach to this. So this is an appropriate time for us to do this. All right, so how do we go about this? Well, obviously step one is identifying our spiritual gifts. I want to show you a cartoon here. There we go. This is from Gary Larson. He used to do The Far Side. It's one of my favorites because I have a weird sense of humor. But in this particular cartoon, you might notice there's a young man trying to get into this building, and the building's called the Midvale School for the Gifted. And if you look closely, you see he is trying to open that door by pushing just as hard as he can, completely ignoring the fact that there's a sign right above him that says, pull. I think this is how a lot of us feel about this, is that, you know, we believe Scripture. We know that it says that we have these certain gifts and abilities, so we know we belong inside the building. But how I open the door to reveal what my particular gift is, that's a complete mystery to us. We're pushing with all our might when, in fact, we should be doing something else to get that door open. And I think part of our problem is we have some misconceptions when it comes to spiritual gifts. So let's talk about those for a second. Number one, when people normally talk about spiritual gifts, they use Paul's writings as their main thing. He writes very extensively about it. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 12, he actually lists out several spiritual gifts. And we can't help ourselves when somebody's telling us this or we're reading it to have kind of a checklist in our head of trying to figure out where I belong on this list. And he starts off by saying, well, some have the gift of speaking or preaching. Nope, not me. Some have the gift of teaching. No way. Some have the gift of performing miracles. Well, I know that's not me. Some have the gift of prophecy. Well, I don't even know what that means, so that can't be me. Or finally, the gift of speaking in tongues. Well, if I could do that, I'd belong to a Pentecostal church, so that can't be me. Well, pretty soon you get to the bottom of that list, and you have a bunch of no's. You can't find yourself anywhere on that list, and so you walk away kind of discouraged or bewildered. But see, here's the deal, is I don't think Paul meant this to be an all-inclusive list. I think he was just kind of listing out his top seven or so. I think his range of what a spiritual gift is much wider. And that's why I like what Peter wrote much better. Because he says, whatever gift you have, put it to use. Okay, well, that opens up a lot of more possibilities. So that's misconception number one. Misconception number two is when we think of the word gift or gifted, we have kind of a skewed view of what that might mean. We think of somebody with a special quality or extraordinary, maybe even unique. Think of like a gifted child, for instance. We send them off to a special school or special classes. Well, that's not exactly the way that we should think of spiritual gifts. And this is one of the cases, you've heard that phrase, lost in translation. Well, this is a prime example of that. I have some shocking news for some of you. Bible not originally written in English. I know, I was shocked too. When you're studying the New Testament, it's mainly Greek, so you need to go back to the Greek writings to determine what words. And in this particular case, the word that's used for gift is a word that you and I are familiar with. It's charisma. Now think about it. When you think of somebody having charisma, it's somebody that has a certain aura about them, or a charm, or an appeal. Now if I take that definition and apply it to gift, it's really spiritual charisma. What is it about you and me that other people find appealing? Maybe it's my friendly nature, or maybe it's my sense of compassion. Instead of my ability to speak, maybe it's my ability to really listen to somebody. Or maybe it's just the way that I go about life. Maybe it's my work ethic, or maybe it's my integrity. Well, now that opens up a treasure trove of different gifts that I could have access to, and it seems a little bit more reasonable that I can find myself somewhere in there. But I'll be honest, it's kind of difficult to look at yourself and determine what my appeal is to others. It's still a difficult task. We don't know what we really have. During the first part of the last century, there's a fellow by the name of William Randolph Hearst. I think we have a picture of him coming up here. Now, Mr. Hearst was one of the first media moguls of this country. And in those days, media consisted of newspapers. Now, for your young people, a newspaper is what people my age and older go out to get off the front stoop to read about what happened yesterday. And even as I say that, it sounds really silly, but it's habit, okay? But anyway, Mr. Hearst owned all of these newspapers from all over. And as he got older, he started to worry about the legacy that he was going to leave behind. He didn't have the greatest reputation. By the way, if you've ever seen the movie Citizen Kane, it's based kind of on his life. So he thought, well, I'm going to build something a little bit more tangible, something that'll last through the ages. Okay. So he started working on this enormous building outside San Simeon, California. There it is, Hearst Castle. Okay. And it was not enough just to build the building. He decided he wanted to furnish it. He thought himself as kind of an art connoisseur, so he wanted to fill it up with all these great pieces of art from all over the world. So he sat down and he put pen to paper and he started listing out things that he really wanted to have inside this building. And he hired an agent and he says, here's the list. I want you to scour the world, find out who owns these things, come back to me, and then we'll start negotiating to obtain all these things. So off the agent goes. Well, he comes back after just a couple of months and he says, Mr. Hearst, I'm ready to report. And Hearst was actually kind of shocked because he thought it would take a much longer time. And he says, all right, what do you got? And he says, well, I don't really know how to tell you this, but most of the pieces that are on your list have been sitting in one of your warehouses, some of them for decades. He owned what he was actually looking for. And I think that's the problem that you and I have, is we tend to look outside of ourselves to figure out what our gift is, when it really should be an internal search. A search of something that's already in there, it just needs to be unlocked and released and recognized. Okay, and fortunately, there's ways to do that, and when we get to the initiative later on this year, we're going to explore some of those things. But this is where you and I have to play my version of an old game show. Let's make a deal. Now, in my version, is you're going to have to agree to something, and no, it's not wearing a chicken suit or anything like that. I, on behalf of the leadership of the church, am going to have to have my part of the bargain here. And if we can come to that understanding, then we can see behind door number one. Okay, fair enough? All right, so let's start with your part. You may have participated in this kind of thing dozens of times before. Spiritual gift inventories, ministry surveys, the list goes on and on. I need you to just sort of put all that aside. Maybe it was a good experience, maybe it wasn't. And let's start afresh. Let's start new, like Dara was saying here, a reset. And let's go at it enthusiastically. But on top of that, I need you to approach it faithfully and honestly. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, as we're all painfully aware, we're about to enter the next election cycle. And if you're like me, I wish I could just turn the TV off for a year because I know what's coming. But I find it kind of amusing that they're already starting to come out with polling data with absolutely no acknowledgement of how wrong they got it last time. But if you look deep enough, one of the things they attribute to the polling data being wrong is that people just didn't answer honestly for whatever reason. And in church, it's even worse, because what we tend to do is when we fill out these surveys and things, we tend to answer how we want somebody else to think about us, not what's real. And even worse than that, sometimes we even kid ourselves. We think, okay, I'm kind of interested in that. And then later on, when you get the phone call asking you to participate, you have to think of 10 different reasons why I'm not going to do it. We can't really afford to do that this time. So I need you to really take an honest assessment of what you're interested in and what the answers to the questions are. Okay, that's your part of the bargain. Fair enough? Okay, we're going to get to my part in a minute, but first a commercial break. This is something that Hannah talked about so very eloquently last week, and that's, it's not just about your abilities. It's finding that intersection point between your abilities and your passions. Okay, this is what the scripture was talking about. It says, if you're going to speak, speak as though you were speaking for God. If you're going to serve, speak as though you were using the strength of God. This is taking an ability and a passion and putting them together. Otherwise, you're just going through emotion. So this is imperative that we do this. Unfortunately, what you and I do, and this, Hannah talked about this, is that we don't always think these things mesh. We think we have a certain ability, but we don't really get excited about doing it. Or the other way around, we're really passionate about something, but we don't think we're really gifted enough to carry through with that. But we sell ourselves short, and this is where we have to open ourselves up to the possibilities. Back in the mid-70s, when I was a freshman at A&M, this was the days of the old Southwest Conference, and every football weekend was a big rivalry game. These schools had played each other for decades. So, for instance, our game with Baylor was called the Battle of the Brazos, both schools being on the Brazos River. And the face of Baylor football in those days, was this guy. He was their quarterback, Neil Jeffrey, All-American. It gives me a shiver just to look at that picture. They were a pretty good team in those. They'd won the conference the year before I got there, and we were kind of an up-and-coming team. So this was a real rivalry. So fortunately, we happened to win the two games that he and I overlapped, but they were really close games, closer than they should have been. So he became kind of the poster child of why we don't like playing Baylor. Okay? Well, fast forward about 25 years, I got invited to a prayer breakfast in downtown Dallas, and the way that it was sold to me was, there's going to be a really good speaker there and a free breakfast. Now, which is the part you think I heard? Yeah, free breakfast. Oh, and so I said, okay, I'll come along. Oh, by the way, who is the speaker? It's a guy by the name of Neil Jeffrey. I think he used to play football. Oh, really? Okay, I agreed to go. I'm a man of my word. But I'm going to make a solemn vow here. As God is my witness, he starts talking about the glory days of Baylor football, I'm headed to the bathroom for a while. Well, much to my surprise and my delight, he gave one of the most powerful witnessing testimonies I think I've ever heard, even to this day. He talked about his faith journey and how it had really caused him to reprioritize his life. And he'd given up any possibility of playing a long football career, and he focused on things that were important to him, family and his faith and his path to ministry. And I'm telling you, we listened to every word. But here's the part that I didn't know about Neil Jeffrey till that day that you'll find amazing. He had, and he still has to this day, probably the worst stutter of anybody I've ever heard. Now think about that for a second. If you or I had that particular affliction, the last place we would be is up here or in front of a huge room of people and talking about it. We wouldn't want to reveal it. In fact, we would see that as a weakness, wouldn't we? But he felt so passionate about sharing his story that instead he used it. It became a strength for him. He made fun of himself. He didn't try to hide it or anything. And if he got stuck on a particular word, he was like a walking thesaurus. He would quickly search for another word that would help him keep going. And I mean, we hung on every word of that speech. And this is what you and I need to do, as Hannah was talking about. We need to create that space and flexibility to really examine who we are and what we have and what we have to offer. And maybe things that we don't think we're good at can actually be used to to fulfill those kinds of passions. Maybe things that we don't know that we're passionate about is simply because we haven't tried it before or we haven't gone there before. So this finding this intersection is a really expansive thing. But if we do that, now we're ready to proceed to the last step, and that's putting them to work. Okay, that's the commercial. Back to the game show, all right? So here you've agreed to being part of this enthusiastically and honestly, faithfully. Okay, what's my part as part of the leadership of the church? Well, maybe you've done this before, and you walked away a little disappointed because nobody ever called, nobody ever asked. Or if they did, it was for something completely different than what you thought that you wanted to do. So it's going to be my job and the leadership of the church's job to see that that doesn't happen, to take the information that we get from you and to find the fit for you, to put your talents and your passions and your appeal together. Now, to be honest, it's going to require a little bit of patience. My feeling is we're going to be involved in ministries down the road here that we don't even know exist, that we hadn't even thought up yet. But it's much better for us to know what we have to work with before we agree to take on these things, and that particularly is true for human resource. What is it that we have that will fit into that particular thing? And if there's enough of this, then it's a viable thing. So this is a very important thing that you and I do going forward, okay? All right, so we've come to our agreement. This is what both parties are. We're ready to reveal behind door number one. It's a brand new church. And it's a church that's fully equipped. It's equipped to face the challenges of the future that going forward. It's a church that's known. It's known for a place that someone can go be served or to be a part of service. It's a church that's tied to the community through service and also relationship. It's a church that's known for being a catalyst of change, changing individual lives, changing the face of our community, and maybe even a small way, changing the nature of our world. But here's the best part. That's not really all the prize. That's just a benefit of the prize. The real prize is that we get to show what the face of God looks like in our community. That as we go out and serve, we're showing people what the value of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is all about. And it's all in an effort to glorify God, as it says in the scripture. And I think that's a pretty good deal. Amen.